Welcome to Black Men's Mental Health Podcast. Society doesn't want you to blame anything but yourself. It's a trait, not mental health. People out there is not going to understand you until you let them know. You definitely got to take into account your mental health. You have to tune into your own mind. Hey, what's up? It's your man Casanova and another Black Man's Mental Health Podcast. First, of course, as I do every podcast, I want to thank everybody that's been listening to this podcast, supporting me, men and women, black, white, Asian, Chinese, everybody listens to me. I appreciate you. Because to be honest, without you, this podcast wouldn't be possible. I wouldn't be on any list. I wouldn't be even doing what I'm doing today if it wasn't for y'all, the real people that listen to me. So first, I want to thank y'all 100%. My loyalty and dedication to y'all is number one regardless. Okay. Now, you probably saw the thing, title of this is, I think may call it Black Man's Dilemma or the Black Man Issue. Now, one thing you know about me, if you listen to my podcast, I don't really care about the criticism. I don't care about the naysayers because I already knew from day one starting this podcast that when people listen to it, there's going to be people that's going to rub them the wrong way. It's going to be people that no matter what I do are not going to like the topic, no matter what I'm saying. When you defend black men or you talk about black men problems and issues, there's always a backlash. I've told you, I've had several seminars, I've done conferences, meetings I've done. And when I say black men's mental health, it's always a trigger for black women, trigger for black men, trigger for other cultures. So I'm used to it. So one thing I've never really done is listen to comments or view comments. But the other day I was on Apple, right? You know, they have the little comment section. Now, other platforms, I'm a 5+5 straight across. But Apple's a little bit, as you know, Apple Podcasts reaches more people listen to consume their podcast content through that platform. So I just happened to be on there the other day and I saw some of the comments. Now, it's not a lot of comments and a lot of them are positive, but there are a few that are very negative. And, you know, when you have any type of content creation, whether it's podcast, video, and whatever, there's always going to be negative comments. So, you know, one thing you have to do when you put yourself out there in these type of platforms is have a thick skin, because people are not going to like your content, especially Black Men's Mental Health is very triggering. You know, if you say anything as to a black man's issues and problems, they are immediately ready to say you're the problem, you're not talking about this, all this stuff. So I was reading some of the comments and I saw a couple that were very interesting. Now, for one, I'm the type of person that I love debate. I love the conversation. So to me, I have no problem telling somebody how I feel about something and debating them about those issues. And you know what? There's been times where through that debate, through healthy conversation, healthy discussion, I've said, you know what? Your point of view, I agree with it. Or I mean, I agree with it, but I see your point of view. And I appreciate the conversation. I appreciate the diversity in thinking. I appreciate the life experience some people may have. I think it's great. And I think we need those type of discussions, whether we agree or not. But those discussions are needed. And one of the things that I have saw with people staying comments about the podcast, the comments about that, you know, I'm ranting, I'm not really serious, a lot of different things. Let me pull up some things that I think that that are very interesting. And I decided to do, at first I wasn't going to do this podcast. I was saying, forget it, I don't care, you know, because I really don't, to be honest. But you know, it's just interesting people's views on things. So I want to address some
things that I think are very telling of this, you know. I got a comment right now. So, of course, they want to be anonymous, right? And I feel that, of course, it's probably a woman or man. I had one comment that said, I wish I could vote below one star. You can't be concerned about black mental health and not understand the black man. So I don't understand how, as a black man, that was raised in the Bronx, New York, on welfare to a mother that was 16, father was not in the household, that, you know, raised in the hood, in the projects, that I don't understand what it is to be a black man. You know, I married a black woman, I have black kids, but I don't know what it is to be black. And that's very interesting. And I look at those type of comments, I say to myself, now, is this a man, a simp man, or a woman, a black woman? Because they gave some anonymous anonymous name, George H.E., very anonymous. And I say, and it's so sad that when people are discussing topics that they know of, and because people don't agree, they want to do everything to bash you. Now, if you've been following this podcast, there's no way in hell you could tell me that I don't understand the black man. I am a black man. And that's, so to me, it must be a woman or some simp guy that is going to sit here and say that I, a person that probably, if you think about a stereotypical black man, unfortunately, I check off every single box. But my experiences as a black man are not relevant because I don't understand a black man. Like, that's funny to me. And these people do these things because they really hate the fact that my podcast, I'm speaking truth. Now, whether you agree with it or not, that's fine. I've never told anybody you have to see things the way I say it. No. You know, I love the discussion. I love the interaction. I love being able to speak and have positive dialogue. But this person went out their way to be anonymous and give me one star. And the header was really. Now, I don't know of any man that will put a header really with a question mark. Like, that sounds such like a woman. Really? And then to say that I can't be concerned about black mental health and not understand the black man. Now, let's dissect that. My podcast is called Black Men's Mental Health, but they said that I can't be concerned about black mental health. That sounds like a woman to me. And then not be concerned, understand the black man. See, because from a woman's perspective, right? Because I'm thinking this is a woman, because really, if people put really with a question mark, yeah, that sounds more like a woman. And to sit here and really tell, see, because black women, and I have never bashed black women. I have bashed the culture that some black women follow that I think is detrimental to the culture, especially to black women. But I've never bashed black women because I am married to a black woman. I have only dated in my life black women. I have black kids. I have a black mother, a black sister, black cousins, black in-laws. So for somebody to say that I don't understand what it is to be black mental health, and then I don't understand the black man, that's funny to me. But see, this is the problem that they don't understand, is that every time we talk about our issues as a black man, we get pushed back for it. See, that's understanding the black man that no matter what I do, no matter how much I say I have problems and issues or these things aren't fair to me or these things happen to me, I will get pushback. You know, I think I've said this several times. You know, every time I have a seminar, I say black men's mental health matters. Black men's mental health is an issue. And there's always some black woman raise their hand and say black women's issues matter too. But we not hear about that. So that was very funny to me, you know, because people will try to bash you. People will try to stop you, especially with this topic. And that is the prime example of the black man's experience. So how don't I understand being a black man? But right now you've given me exactly what it is to be a black man in America, that no matter what I say, it's a problem. It's an issue. I also got another one, right? This one's very interesting too. I'm going to dissect this. As a professional in the health and wellness field, right? I am disappointed. I was looking forward to listening to this and find something of substance at all. He just sounds like he's been hurt. This is rant, nothing else. Mind you, the title of the episode in particular is on Men's Mental Health Month. If I were anything else, it's a slam to black women. Once again, now it's about I'm slamming black women. So, see, those are people that don't listen to my podcast. And I'm sure this is a woman because she pointed out a slam to black women. Once again, I am married to a black woman, a very strong, independent black woman. I have black kids, a black mother, a black sister. I have a daughter who is black. I do not bash black women. I bash the culture that a lot of black women are adopting. See, the problem is this. The problem is when you call out a black woman on things she's doing wrong, you're wrong, and now you're bashing all black women because black women can't do no wrong. As soon as you point out something is a problem, but they could point out every single day of what we do wrong. We could look on the internet 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and see somebody bashing black man, bashing us as fathers, bashing us as everything. We are the lowest of the low to black women. But as soon as we call out something they do wrong, that's a problem. That's an issue. Now we're bashing black women. I have never bashed a black woman as far as saying F black women or anything. Never done that. I have pointed out things that are unfair in our society. I have pointed out the idealism of what black women are adopting in the culture. But I am not bashing women in general. I'm trying to educate so relations could be better. Black women could do better. And I've also had podcasts where I talked about black men, how we can do better. So if I just had a, you know, you need to, what I don't do is the red pill thing. Okay. I am not a hypocrite. You know, these same people need to give same energy to podcasts like Fresh and Fit and Forgeezy, all this stuff. These are hypocrites. I'm going to do a podcast on this guy, but like for Jeezy, a podcast, this black man that is a popular podcast, and all he does is bash women. He talks about women with kids and value. He's a value man and all this other stuff. Come to find out, as in all these red pill controversial guys, he's married to a white woman who already had kids. This man is married to a white woman that already had kids and they had babies with her. But on his podcast, he's talking about how women, black women with kids are no good. They're used. They're not value, that he's a high valued man and a high valued man is going to get a high value woman. So why would he deal with kids and all this other stuff? But you're a high valued man in your sense, in your mind, and you went and married a white woman with kids. So you're saying that black women independent black women that are submissive, that are good women to marry. They don't have body counts. All that is the equivalent to a white woman with kids, because that's what you married. But these are the podcasts that get all these views and people love. But when I speak on the real issues, now I'm bad. I'm woman bashing. You know, you have Fresh and Fit podcast that to me is ridiculous. And every time, and no, we run, they have some disrespectful women on there, and I get it. But these are the type of people they invite. And then as soon as they do something wrong, he always, stupid black bitch, you're fat and ugly, you ain't shit. He literally bashes black women. Now, I have had a lot of black women in my day come at me. And you know what? Because they're black women, I say, you know what, sweetie? I wish you the best. And I keep it moving. I don't engage in bashing. I don't engage in degrading her. I don't engage in none of that stuff, because you know what? At the end of the day, she's still a black woman. I won't call her a name. Oh, you fat bitch. Oh, you dumb black bitch. You know what I'm saying? I won't do that, because at the end of the day, she's still my sister. She's still my black sister. I will exit from the situation or have her exit the situation, but I will not bash her or degrade her. That's just not what I do to my sisters, regardless of them being disrespectful. See, that's a real black man. That's real respect. There's nowhere in this podcast where you would ever hear me call, oh, fuck these black bitches or not. You've never heard me say that. I would never do that. But what's triggering is saying black men were treated wrongly in this country. And we are. We are the face of everything wrong with America. Our black women, and I'm talking about social media and culturally right now. See, culturally doesn't mean everybody in the culture. It means that the perception or imagery that is portrayed from the culture. Okay? Because we know that there are good women out there. I married a good woman. My wife is fiercely independent and strong, with a master's degree, with two associates, a bachelor's and a master's. She has a high-end job making six figures plus and very independent. But you know what? She's still a mother. She cooks for our kids. She takes care of me. Not like a baby, but you know, she does the duties of a wife. Just like I do the duties of a man. I pay the bills. I do a lot of stuff. But my wife is a woman that at the end of the day is an example of, you could have your cake, you eat it too. She's independent. My wife whips a BMW. My wife has money. My wife has red bottoms and Louis bags and shit like that. My wife has all that stuff that the idea independent black woman wants. But she's married. She's still getting that kitchen, and she throws down the meals for our kids. She's active with my daughter in dance, active with my son's schooling, takes care of the household, does the laundry. Now you're gonna say, oh, you chauvinist, you don't do nothing. No, I help my wife with everything. I do a lot, build a lot in the house. I shop too, do grow. So I serve my wife as well. I serve her too. But what I'm saying, just on her part as a woman, she does all the stuff that these women out here. She goes out with girls to, you know, brunches and stuff, hangs out, chills, still has active with her family, active with her girls, active in her sorority. But she still comes home and she cooks. She washes the dishes. She, you know what I'm saying? She takes care of our household. So I have an example at home of a woman that can do it all. And she don't bash black men. She don't bash nobody. She don't belittle me or nothing. She's a good woman, but she's fiercely independent. I can't tell my wife what to do. She respects me. But as far as leadership of the house, she allows me to lead. Now, I don't have to sit down and speak my credentials and what I do. At the end of the day, if you listen to my podcast, you already know what type of man I am and where I've been and the struggles I've been through to get where I am today. So I'm not even going to talk about that. But why can't black women be called out on things they're doing wrong? Now, I know it's not every single black woman, but social media and the perception of black women culture is that they're always bashing black men. And even outside of black women, our country, black men is the enemy. Everything America does not want to be is rolled up into a black man. Just as a man, period, we're not born with wealth, with worth. We have to earn our worth. And our worth is only if we could pay and provide. And that's the culture right now. No, I'm not going 50-50 or nothing. A man got to pay my bills, things like that. You got simps out there like you got a lot of simps out there like Yada and all these other people out there telling men like, yo, you meet a woman with kids, take care of the kids. If you meet a woman that, you know what I'm saying, you need to take care of from her foot to her tough head. And you know what I'm saying? She's your responsibility. You do everything. She don't do nothing. You buy her Louis bags and all that, take care of her parents. You got all these simps out here telling these black men the wrong things. When at the end of the day, none of them did it that way, them damn selves. See, one thing about my podcast is that there is nothing I say that I have not done myself. There's nothing I advise or give an idea that I haven't done myself. I'm not a hypocrite. So to sit here and for people to have that idea of me or to try to bash me is ridiculous. Bash who needs to be bashed? Not a black man that's actually talking about black men's mental health and black man issues in this country. Because it's not easy. As a man, it's not easy. But as a black man, it's even doubly hard for us to get anywhere, do anything. Do you know the struggles a black man has to go through to even be successful? And even worse, to be successful out of anything that's not what people ideally think a black man should be successful in: selling drugs, being in music, or playing sports. But businessmen, entrepreneurs, educators in the field, black men in high ranking places in corporate jobs, that's not the idea of black man. So it's hard. Even as a black man that is in corporate America like I am and has a high paying job, I have obstacles because I have these pre-notions that people have of me as a black man. I'm aggressive. And now that Trump is in office, people are extra bold now, like before. But see, that's why a lot of black men on the low voted for Trump. Not because we are pro-white and we, no, none of that. We did it because we understood what it meant for Kamala to get into office. It had nothing to do with what people were saying. They don't want a black woman in the office. No, it had nothing to do with that. It had nothing to do with her being black as far as black women can't do it. Hillary didn't get there either, because we know what happens when a woman gets in the office. And it's not that we're not ready for it. They're not ready for it. Now, I'm not saying a woman can't be president. Never said that. But these particular candidates, we didn't want in the office. These particular candidates didn't do anything to prove to be in the office. They didn't say anything that meant of any substance to people. They wanted to jive and dance their way and guilt their way into the office. There was no subject. Even with Hillary Clinton, there was no real substance in their campaigns, policies. In particular with Kamala, she was vice president for 4 years and didn't do anything. But see, people would think, oh no, it's because she's a woman, because she's a black woman, there's racism, all this stuff. They don't want to admit that nobody cared to see Meg Thee Stallion, Glorilla, and Beyonce. Nobody gives a goddamn flying rat's ass when you go to the grocery store and your food is 2 times more expensive. When you walk in the streets and there are immigrants living on the streets and crime is up in certain areas because of that. Nobody gives 2 flying rat's ass about Beyonce. Nobody gives 2 damn ass about slogans. You know, I went to New York last year. Me and my family, I went back home. And I was downtown, and the immigration problem was ridiculous. Like, they were everywhere. Everywhere. There was a hotel me and my wife stayed at a few years ago, the Roosevelt. It was a real fancy hotel downtown called the Roosevelt. Real fancy, upscale at the time. But for whatever reason, it closed down. Right. But it was real high end. When we were there, they were filming, I think, an episode of like some big show. I mean, it's like it was back then. It was really, really nice, really, really fancy. But for whatever reason, they closed it down. And then they used that hotel for the immigrants. And I was down 42nd Street. And the amount of people selling and immigrants selling goods and hustling and stuff like that was ridiculous, more than usual. You know, I went down to Canal Street. Now, if you know New York, Canal Street is the spot where, you know, people go, they buy good stuff like that. It's like mostly Asians and stuff. It was taken over by Nigerian immigrants everywhere. It was ridiculous. Now, I'm not stopping anybody from their hustle. Don't get me wrong. You know, you got to sell your product. But I'm just saying that it was just overwhelming of the immigrants that were there. Then on top of that, we found out they're getting paid money. They got a place to stay. See, those are issues that people were dealing with that we wanted to talk about. So at the end of the day, we weren't sitting there crying because Kamala's a black woman. We were crying because at the end of the day, the campaign she ran on was bullshit. And see, as black men, we are used to them trying to spin the block on us. Now, instead of them saying we just didn't run a good campaign, black women are saying, oh, they're not ready for a black woman. You know, nobody checked Kamala about being married to a white man. Nobody said that, you know, all right, I mean, I like Kamala, but you know what? She should be with a black man. She want to represent us. No black woman, not one black woman called her out on that to say, you all about the black people, but you married a white man. But nobody called her out on that. But let's say it was reverse. And you have all these candidates, these black senators that have white women, they're calling them all the time. Oh, they are the black. Clarence Thomas might tell white woman, oh, see, you know, he's not really black. But this was the woman that's trying to be the president of the United States, and you didn't call her out for that. I said the representation of her there would be bad for our culture. Because if the most powerful seat in the world is a black woman, I want to see a black man next to her. Because that imagery will help the culture. But the imagery of Kamala up there with a white man with white kids does not help our culture and the imagery. That's why I said a Kamala loss is a black man's win. Because at the end of the day, what black women would have done is said, I'm going to find myself a good white man. Look at Kamala. She found herself a good white man and she's all the way at the top. And that would be the imagery that black girls, young black girls would have had about what they need to do to be successful. And how can I argue with that? How can we as black men argue with our sisters to say, marry us, be with us, we're going to make it to the top together? And then, but the top is a black woman with a white man. I mean, come on. So at the end of the day, yeah, I'm going to call out black women in our culture. It's like I've called out black men. my new book coming out, Men Are Meant to Be Broken, is literally about black men taking responsibility of what we could do to be successful and what we need to do. Literally, that's what I'm writing. I have a whole book about that. But instead of a black woman's understanding, at least understanding, you know, my grandmother said to me one thing. She said, understanding is a beautiful thing. And I never understood that growing up. It was hard for me to understand that lesson. And finally, I understand that lesson. Because at the end, you don't have to agree with us. You don't have to sit here and march down the road screaming the black man's right. No, but at least understand what we're going through. Have some sympathy about what's going on with us and how we feel. What we live through. But see, they don't want to do that. They want to see a black man and take him down. I never got people that want to stop people from eating. Everybody got a family. You know, I talk about certain people in the media and what they're doing, but you know, they're scammers. You know, now if this was just black men that just had a different opinion of me, of me, and were living the truth they spoke about, I would not say anything personal about them. It would just be to the facts. We just disagree on the views, and I'm with that. But when these black men are out here running around talking about bullshit that they're not even doing themselves, that's when I have the problem. But see, those are the black men that black women like. They like the fake black men, the black men that's pandering to them, telling them a black man ain't shit. He need be taking care of you. He need be, but yo, it doesn't matter. You got four kids by four busy daily dads. He need to take care of you and your kids. You don't, you know, when that guy says, how you doing? You say PayPal, Cash App, Venmo, like literally. Literally, these guys are equating our black women to hoes. I have never once said a woman should take money from a man. I never once said a black woman should ever cater to a man and be stupid. I've never said none of these stupid things. But these guys say it all day long. But these black women all say, yeah, I love him because it's pandering to your needs. I'm sorry, I'm not going to tell a woman that has four kids by four baby daddies that, yo, you deserve a high value man. That's just the truth. Why? That's like me as a black, but these black women will have no thing, and these guys and these black women will have will not hesitate to bash a black man that don't have a job, to bash a black man that can't pay for all the bills. That's okay. We could bash them all day long. But as soon as we call out black women, what they do and their ideas, it's a problem. So I don't rant to bash black women. I rant to help the culture. And the only way we can help the culture is by looking at things in reality, not how we want them, would like them, not how we think they should be, not how we feel about it, but the reality. Out of everybody, the black man is the most bashed demographics in the world. Black women swear it's them. But it's not. And it's funny, that last comment I read, their little name is Coach BBL. Coach BBL. Now, if that's not a woman, who knows? And see, they just prove the point of my podcast. They just prove that. Now, I have not only spoken about black women. I've spoken about Diddy and what he did. I've spoken about a lot of black men and just black culture, what we need to do better. I've spoken out a lot of times, taking accountability, making right choices, things like that. I've spoken about that so much. I wrote a whole book, Black Men's Mental Health Bible, which outlines Black men and our mental health and its traits to us, but in other people's mental health. And I outline scenarios in my book. So for somebody to sit here and say, I'm a basher of Black women, they have proven my point. They've proven my point. It is always okay when it's the Black man being bashed, but when Black women slightly feel that you're saying anything negative, oh, it's a problem or issue. You know? Because it's always unfair for the Black man. See, this is the world we live in. It's very unfair. A Black woman can have a baby and abort it. She could leave it at a fire station when it's born and it's fine. But we, the minute we say we don't want to be fathers, we're the enemy. When I say that most Black women are having abortions is not because of incest or rape, even though it's statistically proven that most Black women that have abortions is not because of incest or rape, it's because of as far as a birth control, meaning they're not ready. See, they say, oh, but I'm not ready. Should be my choice whether I have a baby or not. That's how they clean it up. It's just a form of birth control you're using. You know, if a woman kills a child within in 6 months of conception when she's pregnant, 6 months, that's fine. If I push a woman and she falls and her baby dies, now all of a sudden I can go to jail for murder. How is that fair? It's a person when it's a man doing something, but it's not a person when a woman does something. I mean, how fair is that? But see, that's the world that men, especially Black men, we live in. We live in an unfair world that every consensus is made for a woman. She is allowed to murder. Because you may say, well, you could say, well, a child is not a real person until it's born. Okay, fine. Let's go with that concept. Then why, if I murder somebody, I get charged with murdered a pregnant woman, but I get charged with two murders? It's not a person. So how can you charge me for a murder of something that's not a person? But I guarantee every Black woman will sit there and say he needs to go to jail because he killed her child. So is it a baby or not a baby? One half, she could do it and is fine. Other half, I do it, I'm a murderer. Now, these are just the facts. I'm not speaking about my personal opinion. These are just pure facts. See, and that's the problem too. People don't want to talk facts. They want to talk about how they feel. I'm speaking facts. Facts is a woman could terminate a child at any time during the pregnancy up to 9 months in certain states. At first it was all states, but now certain states. I push a woman down a flight of stairs and the baby in her stomach dies. I get charged with murder of a person. That's facts. That, in my opinion, it's facts. How is that fair for men? It's not a person. I should just get charged with murdering the woman or hurting the woman, not murder of a baby. But that's just the facts. That's just facts, people. You could argue all day long, but that's just clear, plain facts. See, and when I talk on this podcast, I don't rant. I talk about facts. Facts is that Black women now on internet and social media and as a culture now, okay, not meaning every single black woman, not saying that there aren't good black women out there, not saying that there are not wifey material black women out there, not saying that, but culturally now it is acceptable of black women bashing black men. But at the end of the day, if black men are so bad, how come all these paternity courts, all these things where people are taking DNA tests 40% of the time, and this is statistics, 40% of the time, the man's not the father of that child. But we're the bad people. We're evil and we just horrible. We're the cheaters. We're the users. But you got women questioning their own paternity of their children. But we're the bad people. See, statistically, the narrative doesn't make sense. And when I point it out, that's when people have the problems because they feel it's not like that. I had a conversation unfortunately, I had some tragedy in my family, in my wife's family, which we had to get together for a funeral. You know, I don't want to get into details of it, but it was a family gathering, and you know, we would have a debate, you know, just to get our minds off of what the tragedy that happened. And I was speaking about statistically, right, of divorces and things like that. And one of the women says to me, "Well, you could talk about that, but what about the women here?" I was like, okay, we could have a discussion about the women here and their experiences. And I'm sure they all have unique experiences. And that's fine. And that's fine. But you can't say that statistics is wrong. Now, these women may have been exception to those rules. But see, the problem is all women think they're exception to the rule. And that's the problem. Reality is that women 80% of the time initiate divorce. And most of the time it's not because of infidelity. That's just statistics. That's not my opinion. That's just statistically. But she said her opinion, her feelings about that is wrong. I'm like, you could feel any way you want. But I'm just spitting statistics. Well, why are you talking about the statistics? She even went to say, why are you being so literal? So literal and literal. You can't put a so literal in front of something that is. That's like saying, why are you being so God? Why are you being so the sky is blue? I mean, you know, you can't be more right about something that's right. You can't be more factual about a fact. You understand what I'm saying? If I say I have a podcast, I can't be like, I have such a bigger, I don't know, maybe I'm trying to come up with stuff in my head. I'm not last minute, to be honest. But you can't say literally to something that is just truth. How can you stop being so literal? So what I'm supposed to be, what's the opposite of literal? Little literal? Little factual? Or just a lie? See, it's like that facts are now even a lie if a woman doesn't feel that way. She literally said to me, don't be so literal. I'm like, what? I said, when you are doing psychology or you have a debate, you can't debate about feelings, because once you reach that realm of feelings, then it's not a debate anymore. Then there is no resolution, because somebody's feeling is not based on facts. So as soon as somebody talks about how they feel, I stop, because I know there's no understanding we're going to have, because I'm talking facts, you're talking your feelings, and feelings is like faith. It doesn't need any proof. You can feel and believe in whatever you want and doesn't need proof. So what's the point of us talking? So I stopped the conversation. I said, you know what? We're good. I also had another gentleman with simp mentality say a man should make a judgment is different than is the same as compromise. And I said, no, literally, they're different things. And a judgment is me changing into something specifically. If I adjust from left to right, I'm making a decision to do something other than what I wanted to do. If I'm in a relationship and a woman says, you know, I want us to be Republicans, I adjust to be a Republican with her. Compromise is saying, okay, I don't want to vote Republican, but maybe for this election, we'll vote this way. For the, is a compromise. A compromise is it me agreeing? Is it me changing my mind? It's us finding a middle ground and me compromising for us to both be happy. And adjustment is a total change. You don't compromise to adjust. No, you adjust. That means you change the dial. I adjust the shift of a car. I'm adjusting it. I'm moving it to another gear. I'm adjusting it. Compromises. We're working together. My ideas may not change. My wants may not change. Or the circumstances may not change. But how we resolve it is a compromise for us both to be happy. But I was told that they're the same thing. And I said, literally, those are two different definitions. Literally. Like they're two different definitions. I even went far to try to look it up to say, hey, let's, but he didn't want to hear that. And the women were like, yeah, see, yeah. But see, that's the world we live in as black men, is that it's about how people feel about us, even if statistically it's not even true. It has been proven that black men are the most active fathers. Now, statistically, we are, most black kids, about 30% are raised in two-parent household. But that does not mean that the fathers are not active in their life. See, people ran with that statistic. Oh, see, the fathers die in the home. 30% of men, of boys, don't have fathers in the home. So you know what? Men are deadbeat. When statistically, black fathers are more, the most active in their children's life. We're just not with the mother. But see, this is the mentality of the black woman. If you're not with the mother, then you're a deadbeat. Even if you want to be there for the child, you don't want to deal with her, but you're a deadbeat because you don't want to be with her. You ruined her life. You hurt her. You gave her a child. It's your fault. That, you see, that's the mentality. If I'm not with you, then I'm a deadbeat. Even if I do for my kids, I pay child support, no matter what, I'm still a deadbeat because I hurt you. And it's all about you. So I'm going to go with the statistics that make it seem like black men are even worse. See, that's what we live with as black men. That's how, that's our life. So if you tell me I don't understand what it is to be a black man, if you tell me that I truly don't understand what it is to be a black man, then I know that you are either a woman or a simp. And a simp man, being a man that will do anything for the graces and attention of a woman, even if that means demeaning himself and his fellow brothers. Because that's the mentality that a simp has. I have made it clear. I am against simp men. And simp, what is a simp man? A simp man is a man that will, I said it once before, I'll say it again, that will do anything for a woman, even if it means degrading himself. He doesn't have any standards when it comes to a woman because he just wants a woman. So he'll say and do anything to appease and cater to that. And I've said several times that our culture as black men, we have to deal with these simp men. Now, we can go see how these simp men are made, and that's fine. Maybe they're, you know, raised by a mother. They're very emotional. They have no standards of men because they don't know what it is. And that's pretty, maybe another podcast I'm going to do in the future. But the reality is, these are the men that these women love. These are the men that they know. They want that mentality because they know they can go out there in their 20s, have a good time, fuck, party, do whatever, pop out a kid or two, and these simp men will marry them and take them in. I was talking to a friend the other day, and she was telling me she's in love with this one guy. It's a unique situation, unique relationship, but she's truly in love with this guy. Truly. And the situation they're in, and I'm not getting details in people's business, but the situation they're in, you know, at the end of the day, you know, it could work. If she makes some adjustments, maybe it can work. And I said, okay. She's like, but you know, the idea with him is not ideal. But I said, do you think this is the man for you? She said, yes, I know he's the man for me. Then why don't you make it work? Because of the situation, you know, and I don't want to be in the situation with him. Okay. Could it work if you tried? She's like, maybe, you know, it really could if I tried, but I want this idea situation. I'm like, okay, so what you're saying ultimately is that you will not be with the man you love that you know is for you to find a man to settle with. Now, this man will be with you, fall in love with you, take care of you, do everything for you. But in the back of your mind, you know damn well he's not the one for you, but you're settled for him. So this man will do everything for you, love you, be there for you, protect you, all these things for you. And never know that in the back of your head, you're still saying he's not what's his name. And that's okay. And that's fine to these women out here. That's what men deal with. That's what the type of man they want. They want to be able to go do whatever the fuck they want, but then come back and this man, black man, you should respect me, love me, and value me the same. When we know damn well in the back of your head, when that man's making love, do you think about the other guy that banged you better than anybody that you really love? I know several women right now that are in relationships, that are in relationships with men that they do not love. Let me go back a little. They do love them. They love them, but they ain't in love with them. They ain't the man they want. They ain't the man for them. And not all these men are simps. There's some good men out there that meet a woman. And forget it. Maybe she has no kids. But see, that's what a woman will do. She will settle. And this man will be in love with you, take care of you. But every night he's making love to you. Every night he's kissing you. Every night he's holding you. Your mind is on the next dude. And you up there sitting in that bed thinking this woman is yours. Making love to this woman, doing your best, and no matter what you do, you will never be that guy she really loves. But she wasn't with that guy because the situation wasn't right, so she settled for you. And she will lie to you, gas your head up, tell you you're the one, she loves you so much, while she's secretly looking at pictures of her ex, thinking about the nigga, or, worst case scenario, still seeing the nigga on the low. But see, that's the reality that we live in, especially as black men. Because if a woman in her 20s and 30s was out there having a great time, that's the more chances she met that guy that did everything, you know. And this is gone for years. I'll give you an example. My grandmother, and this is personal right now, my grandmother got married at 16. To get out the house. That was common back in those days. You know, a woman wanted to get out the house with the parents, so she'd get married, right? She got married, didn't work out. Whatever. She has some kids. Now, my mother is the last kid of three. Right? The last kid of three, right? And this was back in the days. This was back in the 60s, right? Back in the day. And by then, my grandmother had two kids. Right? Two kids by two different men. She met this guy, my mother's father, right? And they fell in love. she said that was the man of her dreams. And even to the day she died, she always told me that this guy, my grandfather, my mother's father, I never met him, but my mother's father was the love of her life. She loved that man to the day she died. Now, there's stories and rumors. I heard he was a player. He wasn't really serious about relationships, things like that. But, you know, at the end of the day, you know, she's a woman with two kids already. He probably was like, I love you too. We cool, but whatever. Now, I'm not saying he was right. I'm not doing anything. But she was in love with that man. Then years later, after my grandmother died, a few years later, I was looking through her paperwork. I found out my grandmother remarried again. Never heard about this guy. I don't know who this guy was. She may still be married to the man. I don't know. Everybody got their secrets of their life. And I found out she was married. Right? So if my mother's father was the love of your life, and you marry this guy after that, now you'll put the math together, what I'm saying. But that's what women do. Now, I'm not saying every woman does this, but this is a reality of black men now. We have to be careful because we could meet a woman that's beautiful, whatever, but because it's so everybody's free sexually, how many women you meet are virgins? How many women you meet don't have experiences like that? I mean, half of these young women going to Dubai, Miami, all that shit, going to the Bahamas, Jamaica, all that stuff, having a good time is the sexual liberation. They saying, girl, go get your dick on, do your thing. And then you meet her, you're a good guy, and you meet a woman and you say, I'm a lover. How don't you know she's thinking about the next dude? I literally know women right now living with a man, sharing a bed with the man, but in love with somebody else. Or some texting and seeing the man they really love. While this man is at the house thinking, I got a good woman, she loves me. Now, that's not all women, but that's the reality of the culture now. See, back in the days, women, you know, my grandma was, I mean, I love my grandmother to death. I mean, I wouldn't be me if I wouldn't be where I am if it was for my grandmother, to be honest. But she had three baby daddies. She had three baby daddies. And then marry somebody else. Now, I don't know that I don't know what happened with that marriage, to be honest. I don't know what happened. I couldn't tell you. It's maybe a family secret. I don't know. But at the end of the day, that's the reality. That's the reality. And now it's worse than it was back in the day. Now these women are, they're women at 20 that already had 20, 25 men. They already had four relationships, been in love. Now you come around a nice guy. See, but that's our reality. Now that's not all the time. That's not everybody. And I'm not saying this is exclusive to black men, but I just talk about what happened in our culture. That's the culture we live in today as black men. We don't only get attacked outside from other cultures and race. We get attacked from inside, our own women. See, I've never been a person to sit here and talk about, oh, the white man. You know what? That's a battle and an issue that has been there. But the new issue is our black women. That's not bashing. It's reality. If you tell me something that I'm saying is wrong, please tell me that and we'll talk about it. Tell me that and we'll debate it. We'll have a discussion. But I'm just talking statistics, facts, and what is culturally happening with us. But I'm the bad guy because, see, in our culture, a black man issues, whether it's mental, social, physical, it don't matter, is not relevant. And as soon as we say it, it gets deflected and it's a trigger. Especially our black women, they've been triggered to not be sensitive to black men's needs because that is a weakness to them now. Oh, you care about the black man? That's a weakness. Meaning that that's a trigger for them. That is a non-existent conversation they want to have because in their eyes, black men are evil. They're the victims. We're the prey. We prey on women. And they're just innocent and do nothing. And everything they do is in retaliation of what we've done to them. And then you have these simp guys telling these women to go out there and date different men, see different men. It don't matter if you have kids. It don't. They lower their standards. And then I talk about standards a woman should have, but I'm the bad one. I'm bashing women because I don't say go out there, have abortions, have babies, do whatever you want. You know what I'm saying? It doesn't matter. You're high value. No matter how many kids you have, no matter what you do in your life, you're high value. A man should. That's what they say to me. If I'm ranting, that's fine. I'm ranting facts. I'm ranting what is real. I'm not ranting how I feel. I'm ranting facts. If you don't see it that way, I don't understand what world you're living in. It's like women are superstars now. And you know how superstars have nothing but yes people around them? So they think their shit don't stink. They think that no matter what they do, they get this ego because they're surrounded by everybody that's yes people telling them yes, yes, yes. Our society is giving yeses to black women all day long now. Black women can do no wrong. So when you check them, you're bashing them. You're anti-black woman. Even if I'm just telling the truth, but I'm bashing black women. I don't understand what it is to be a black man. Well, I appreciate y'all listening to this podcast. This is me getting things off my chest. This is me spitting facts. And I think talking to those critics and so people that think about my podcast and want to criticize and try to hate. See, the thing is, everybody, I ain't going nowhere. This podcast ain't going nowhere. And at the end of the day, I don't care if this podcast blows up and doesn't. It's important for the people that listen to the podcast that I stay doing this. And those are the people I care about. I will be the voice of the black man. I will be the true voice of the black man. I will represent our pain, our struggle, and talk the real and allow a space for you to listen. A space for you to know that you're not the only one that feels this way or sees it this way. You're not crazy, black men. It is real. Everything I said is facts. And this is the experience of being a black man. And that's what this podcast represents on all levels. Mental health, physical, emotional. This is what we deal with. And I will never shy away from speaking the black man's truth. Until next time.